Welcome, everybody. It is February 8th, 2021. This is a meeting of the integrity body of creating the future. Welcome to anybody who is watching this live or watching the recording of it. And as we start all of these sessions, to remind ourselves that part of the future we are creating is one with greater humanity and connection to people. We ask folks to think about and share something that is awesome. And in doing so, just so anyone who's watching this knows where you are located, just because we are from all over.
Is going to go. I'll go first. Hi, everyone. Angie Eikenberry. I'm here in Omaha, Nebraska, where we have had snow, and more snow lately. We've been pretty much having to shovel every day for the last, I think, 5 days. And it's very cold, very, very cold. And I think, this is all we're doing for now. We'll do awesomes later.
Well, go ahead and do an awesome. Angie.
Okay. All right. I'll do my awesome also. The awesome that I want to share with you this week is, and Hilde knows this very well, I'm teaching a fundraising class this semester, but I've tried to reorient it to try to frame it in a more, driven by the catalytic framework. And I've had students implementing catalytic decision making in relation to the organizations that they're using for their case studies for fundraising. We're also focusing around community centric fundraising. So I'm sad that Vu is not here to hear this. Hopefully you'll hear it later, but really trying to think about fundraising in the context of community centric approaches and anti-racist approaches. And so anyway, I think the class is going really well, and I wanted to share with you, I hope I did not ask for permission so this, but I had a student email me yesterday just basically to say how much she appreciated this approach. And it was just a really nice note to get from one of the students. It's been awesome to have these conversations around fundraising and its role in society and how we might be able to change our approaches to fundraising to be inclusive and anti-racist, and hopefully helping create the kind of change the organizations are trying to change. Yay.
Hey, thanks, Andy. So I'll go next. So I'm Dustin Pollock. I'm in Washington, D.C. Here we've had our version of snow, which is 2 or 3 inches, that hasn't required the shoveling that Andy is speaking of. We actually have a nice, I think, 40 something sunny day today, so it's very nice here. My awesome actually involves you, Dimitri, unknowingly, which is I just was required to participate in an engagement on teaching in the online world engagement training for another entity that I do some work with. So they were talking all about how you make online learning more human and more inquiry driven. And so before I get to the Dimitri part, I'll just sort of share one of the awesomes that I'm coming in with is just 2 weeks ago, I finished my second week-long Zoom immersive course. So I was co-facilitating a course that met from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., 5 days in a row. And both times we have done it, people have walked away saying, I didn't think I could do Zoom for this long, but it didn't feel like it was Zoom for this long. So it was pretty awesome. And since I like to poke assumptions, it was really fun when everyone says, gotta be, less than an hour. People don't have the patience. And I've always said, well, people have the patience for what they're excited about. They'll do whatever. anyway, that's sort of the big picture. But the smaller picture was that in part, this course that I was taking, they were talking a lot about sort of, you know, how you can use audio and video and other prompts to, you know, humanize the experience. And someone mentioned the technology, you know, because everyone was saying you got to make sure people really understand. And so without naming you, Dimitri, you are my mysterious colleague that I referenced with your tech calls that, you know, and really sharing with people. And people really appreciated this fact that you would actually make a call just to make people feel comfortable with the technology. So I was blessed to have in my back pocket a tried and true example of, you know, not only is it an idea, but it actually works. Thanks, Dimitri.
Wow. Well, thank you, Justin. I'm Dimitri Petropoulos, and I am in Tucson, Arizona. And it is nothing like what you guys described about your environments. I have actually two awesomes. One involves the environment, and that is we have had and still have a garden that's growing in our front yard, which engages neighbors and, you know, people walking by and, oh, wow, that looks great. We did a harvest last week of broccoli and cauliflower, and there were just huge heads of vegetables that are absolutely delicious. And I'm sure you've experienced, but when you grow garden broccoli, it tastes sweet. I mean, it's just really, really delicious. So it was just awesome to be able to bring that in and to share it with neighbors and friends who concur. It tastes great. My second awesome is really personal, and that is that my eldest son and his wife just had a new baby. And
just say it out loud. We're grandparents.
We're grandparents. So I would like to, if I could find it here, where is my screen? Make sure that it's up in there. Oh, that's interesting. Okay, I will have to share it with you later. And I realize what the reason is unless Hildy pulls it up. I pulled up a Signal screen, and Signal is very persnickety about what information gets shared and whatnot. So it's not letting, even though I can see it on my screen, I can't share it with you. But in any event, a new baby girl named Athena. So she is Athena Olivia Petropoulos, which is, boy, that sets her up for something in life. And that is my awesome is, and later on I'll, you know, get the photo so that I can show it to you, which is pretty amazing, so.
Oh, congratulations, that is amazing.
I'm finding it right now. I'm Hildy Gottlieb. I'm with Creating the Future, and I am in Tucson, Arizona, actually sitting next to Dimitri, who looks like he's someplace else, but that's not true. And we had snow flurries 2 weeks ago. So you guys are getting snow. We had snow flurries. They actually weren't flurries. They stuck to the ground for about a minute. The flakes were about like this big. They were huge, huge flakes that eventually stuck to the ground. And then eventually melted, but we still have snow on the mountains and it is beautiful. And I'm going to, yes, our big excitement, I have it right here, honey. Yeah, our huge and big excitement is this weekend that we are grandparents, which was just awesome. And now it's not even coming through in my mail. So yeah, okay. It doesn't.
Let me see if I can do it.
We're gonna find the picture of that baby, but at any rate, they were there you go.
Ah, beautiful.
So sweet.
There's our guy with his little girl, and there's something powerful as first time grandparents in seeing your child be a parent. Yeah. So even more than getting excited about this little girl, as we will get to know her, is seeing your baby as a daddy.
So. And I will state that I do not have permission to show this either from her or him.
but it is pretty Sweet. Wonderful. So yes, we share an awesome. We share an awesome, and it really was pretty exciting. And we've been watching movies. So we used to go to movies once a week. Once a week, you get out of the house, you sit someplace dark, and you don't have to think about anything, and you're surrounded by nothing, and just watch the screen. And it's not the same being at home, but we have recommitted ourselves to, we love movies, we're going to watch movies. And we watched Soul yesterday. And I don't know if you all have seen Soul, but it is beautiful. It is really, really beautiful. So that's us.
Great, thank you. If anybody is following us on the interwebs thing out there, if you are looking at Twitter, you can feel free to tweet something that's awesome for you to the hashtag Creating the Future. And Dimitri is our monitor of tech, so he'll highlight if something comes up. So one of the things that we've been talking about for years now is the purpose and composition of this integrity body. So the purpose is now that we are considering ourselves an integrity body, really focusing on how do we ensure that creating the future is true to its values, is authentic to catalytic thinking and the principles embedded in it. And the question that has been before us that we keep sort of stepping aside of every once in a while has been around recruitment and what would it look like for creating the future? And what is it that we're hoping recruitment to this body accomplishes? And so I think where we want to start is with, again, the people. So when we think about recruiting people into this space, who is it that is affected by this recruitment? Who are the people?
Before we get started, Justin, I just want to mention, and I had forgotten to, so I apologize. Vu sends his apologies. He can't be with us today. And Carl sends his apologies that he can't be with us today. So, For anyone watching, we are normally a slightly larger group, but starting out with the people, those two people wish they could be with us.
Yeah, larger group, smaller pictures.
There you go.
Smaller group, larger pictures.
well, which brings to mind, in terms of the people, there's the people who are already on our board and the people who may join our board. Mm-hmm.
There is, at this point, Hildy and Dimitri as the sort of primary staff force of the organization. So that would, I think, then extend to sort of the staff and volunteers who would be one interacting with people who are serving on the board, as well as might be impacted by decisions that the board makes, although the board isn't going to be in the business of making a lot of decisions. But so perhaps it's the staff and volunteers that will be recipients of the inquiry.
Yeah. Well, and I'm looking at you know, sort of paid staff and unpaid staff, and present and future. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the people who watch for whatever reason they watch. Some people watch our meetings for their own edification to learn. Some people watch because they're involved with creating the future and they want to see what's going on. Some people watch because they're bringing it into their own boards. And so for the myriad reasons, people watch our meetings.
And some of those people not only watch, but they're part of the discussion, right? They come into to mm-hmm. our meetings. There are quite a few people that have over time
yes.
done that.
Mm-hmm. I think there's a big I would sort of call it our community, I guess. Mm-hmm. It's the ripples of people whose lives are touched by creating the future. So there's the people whose lives are people who take our classes, people who are involved in conversations, people who are helping make plans, people who are raising money, people who are doing. So there's that first ripple, and then there's the people whose lives are touched by them. One of the things that was interesting this past week, we had a meeting that was attended by readers of our e-journal asking about, we were thinking, rethinking the journal. Is it effective as it is? What would make it more effective? And the first thing that people talked about was the sharing of the e-journal with others. So it's not just that first ripple of people who are touched by what we're doing, but the people who share that with others. So sort of that community at large.
Mm-hmm. Also, the board members on other organizations who, you know, might look at this and as a model or as a source of information.
Seems like there's this group of board or governance curious people.
I'm writing that down.
And there is that sort of traditional who's looking at and judging creating the future by who's on the board. So funding entities, partners, you know, that kind of stand to see like who is this, who's behind this. So
yeah. Absolutely.
I think that's sort of an overlap with just general public too, as you were talking about, Bilby. So. Any other folks that we can think about who are potentially curious in what the board recruitment looks like or board makeup? Others who may be impacted, affected by the decisions we make around recruitment?
I like the distinction you made, Justin, between the community at large and the people whose lives are touched by the work that we do and the ripples of that versus people who are looking at the list of board members, which is a thing. I mean, it's an important thing for us to be considering and are you know, don't know anything about any of the people who are on the board, but are looking for faces and looking for, you know, et cetera. Yeah, I think that's important.
Anyone who looks at the 990 will be affected by the results of the recruitment. So that's where the list will, that's the other place the list will show up.
Yep.
But again, I think that sort of just falls into that that bucket there. Is there anyone else that we are missing?
I'm not sure how this works or identify it, or if there's even any value in differentiating, but you know, we are recruiting board members in sort of a not-for-profit way. And I know that there's corporate boards and there's you know, boards at different that operate differently in many ways. Yet, what we're doing and how we're doing it could very much affect them. And in a time of, you know, sort of world reevaluation of systems, this could definitely influence this sort of larger world of boards. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The subset of the board curious.
Yeah. So as we think about that, I mean, we have, so the current members, the future members, the staffing, sort of operational core, the governance curious, the creating the future curious, the people who engage with creating the future programs that could ultimately be impacted by the decisions. Partners, funders, other entities that might be looking at the board list for whatever reason, community members. Let's see. As we think about those groups, what is it that we're hoping, what we land on as a board recruitment strategy, and when we have successfully recruited, what do we want that to make possible for, and we can sort of pick up on any of these groups that's kind of popping for folks. There. What's important that we give attention to in terms of thinking about areas of potential?
You know, Justin, you had asked a question in some of our conversations over time about this that I really appreciated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was the whole question of sort of, and you're getting to it in the what the recruitment makes possible. You know, what does being on our board make possible for somebody who joins our board? What do we want that experience to feel like for them? And I really appreciated that question because it really gets to why people do things, you know, short of building a resume, and we're not that kind of board. Why people do things is because of how they feel. And so I think that there's something really powerful. I appreciate that sort of take on the question of what it makes possible. You know, what is, if someone is recruited to our board, you know, in the what's in it for them, you know, what is in it for them?
Yeah. Sort of another just kind of take on the question, because yeah, I am particularly adamant about us talking about that. What's the actual experience that we want people to have as members of this body? So I think that applies to both current members and future members. And, you know, I recently was interviewing some board members, you know, and the question I often ask is, you know, what do you want out of this and why did you say yes? And so as we think about it, what is it that we, you know, are sort of hoping people are saying yes to? What is it that we want them to experience?
And in the recruitment process as well. You know, I'm thinking back to over a decade ago. We were working with an organization when Dimitri and I were still consulting. So it's definitely over a decade, maybe a decade and a half ago. We were working with an organization, and we were helping them recruit a CEO. And we had gone through a long process of determining their core values, did a statement with them that of what they wanted to uphold in their values and how they wanted all their actions to uphold their values. And as part of that, the advertisement for that job, that job description and position, we included the values. And so that part of the CEO's job will be to uphold those values. And just, and what I'm getting to is the process of board recruitment, what we want that process to feel like. We got so many submissions where people's letters, their cover letters said, I've never been recruited to an organization that talked so openly about their values. I want to work for somebody who their values are that important to them. And so there was this sense that the process itself felt good to those individuals. Mm-hmm. And so I think that it's sort of the begin as you wish to continue. You know, what the experience, what we want people to experience being on the board will start the minute with the recruitment process.
Mm-hmm. And so I guess, so with that in mind, and I agree that once we know where we're landing, we know that that's how we need to start. That's there. So, I mean, one thing that was just, you know, popped into my head is it's really important that people feel comfortable being themselves. I also had here, just because of the nature of what we said, people feel an individual sense of integrity, which to me goes very, it's sort of hand in hand with that, because the integrity, I think, points one is I want to feel like I have integrity, which means me being able to be myself and being held account to who I say I want to be. but I also think feeling like the system I'm a part of has integrity, because that's the other pieces. You know, that's often a tension that people feel like they believe one thing, but they're in the system that's not allowing them to do that.
I'm also thinking about how prepared, and this is sort of piggybacking off of what your very kind comment was early on about people are prepared to do tech or people are prepared to do whatever. That they feel prepared coming in, and that it's not, you know, I mean, we know it's not a board where people are, you know, take the first year to just figure out what's going on and then whatever, but that there is a sense of understanding what this is about and how valuable their input is. Not just a, you know, butt in seat, but an integral part of what's going on. And that they know this coming in.
So I really like that, Dimitri. And I was just thinking, you know, you highlighted being prepared. I sort of thought about that, like, if I'm prepared, I'm better positioned to be myself because, you know, I'm not being frantic around something. So there's tech. What other things do we feel like board members need to be prepared around in order to be able to sort of, as you said, be able to have input, be engaged. It certainly seems like catalytic thinking. They have to be prepared and familiar with catalytic thinking.
Mm-hmm. And that will be a condition of their success once they're on the board. But I don't think that, I think one of the, if we're looking at your question, you know, what's the benefit of being on the board is they will learn catalytic thinking. You know, if by nothing else than by osmosis, that they will be learning catalytic thinking, they will be practicing catalytic thinking, and you know, the ripple of that alone could be huge. I think there's also, you know, listening to the voices of what people tell us over and over and over again about being part of our meetings is it's even when we're dealing with big, hairy, uncomfortable issues, it is a safe space for exploration, for intellectual exploration, for emotional exploration. It is a at least that's our intention, and we work towards that.
Part of that's a reflective space for, so a time to reflect on how we're doing things, why we're doing things, all those aspects.
Yeah.
There is something, because this sort of comfortable in oneself, because I was careful not to say just comfortable. Like, I really do want it, the notion of oneself, but I also, and so part of this is sort of my consciousness of how people have been talking about this notion of safe space, that actually, if it's too safe, it's not reflective, productive. And so, you know, I appreciate like that we want an experience where people are able to explore, where people are reflective. I think where people are challenged, I mean, I think that this is me trying to be myself, but I want to be challenged in this space. So I want it to be, and I don't know if it's just playing semantics, but it's like protected versus safe. Like, it might not be safe. I might actually get hurt. It's okay, you know, because I might get pushed on something that feels uncomfortable but it is, it's sort of like, you know, it's not that I don't want to skin my knee. I don't want to be trampled on once they skin my knee. And I don't know.
There's something about being a space for exploration of stuff that you don't normally get to explore. And that's not always safe. You know, being an explorer, you don't know what's in the jungle. You don't know what's in the desert. You don't know. I'm wondering, rather than hypothetical and theoretical, what do each of us appreciate being on this board? Let's make it personal first. What do each of us appreciate?
I'm building on that kind of reflective space for exploration, part of that, but also then that provides an opportunity to reconsider how we do things, you know, raise questions about how we do things and come up with other things to try. And I think that's a very useful or important part of why I like being here.
One of the things that, because when we have guests, people who are not board members attend the meeting, which is normally we have at least one or two, sometimes we have more than that. Almost to the one, when I send a thank you note afterwards, the note that I get back is, I didn't expect to feel so welcomed and so invited to participate. Which, you know, gets to your bring your whole self, Justin. But the word welcomed comes up so often. I didn't expect to feel so welcomed.
Go ahead, Dimitri.
The deliberate way the thinking is done, and that it is of consequence. So often in, you know, my history on boards, my voice could have been there or not been there. It would not have made any difference for the most part, you know, barring crises that may have come up in the course of the organization. And though it sometimes seems like we may deliberate for a year over some component or facet or whatever we're trying to get to, I always feel that my input is important and that it really shapes the final outcome, or, you know, to some degree helps shape the final outcome. So, you know, I want to come back for more of that, because I feel valued by not only the camaraderie, but also the intellectual gift or contribution that's being made.
It's funny, Dimitri, you went right down the path that I was pointed towards because of your previous comment about the input being valued. And I think about what you just described is that brings me to that notion of engagement, of authentic engagement, which is a power principle, not a doing or participating, but it's about, again, if people are truly engaged as themselves, I think they are learning, they're connecting with folks, they're feeling valued individually, but they're also feeling that their input is, I love what you said, shapes the outcome, which is then, that's what leads to a power, that people in this space need to feel like they can actually influence as a result. And again, I know we've, in some way, we've constrained what that influence is by moving away from some of the decision components, but I still think that, like, if we're thinking about and sort of this notion of integrity, if I raise something that I feel is a question, I need to feel that I have the power to ask the question, and that my asking of the question has the power to influence the organization, or influence really this body. I mean, it's not I want to catch myself, because I always tell other people, don't talk about the organization, because the organization doesn't behave. People do. So I think that, and particularly as I think about a space that is dealing with equity, and when I think about a space, what do I want? I do want a space that has more representation of, different communities, different voices, different appearances, different orientations. So that means, in terms of people being comfortable being themselves, it's really, really critical. And I guess I just have one other note, I apologize, and then I'll... when you were speaking, Angie, about the reflective place, one of the things I value, to get back to your question, Hilde, is that we get to test assumptions here. Mm-hmm. We really do test assumptions, because we keep asking questions that eventually make us go, huh. If what we want is that, then we have to skirt around those things that have been telling us and whispering in our ears. It doesn't work that way.
So. Yeah. One of the other things I'm really thinking about, that question of what is the benefit of being on the board? What do I appreciate? What do people appreciate? The fact that our meetings are open and people come in, not just tweeting, but they actually come in, we get to meet really interesting people. And the people on the board are interesting people and always have been. The folks who have come and gone on our board have always been really interesting people and with really interesting insights. And in part, I think that is because everybody in the world is really interesting if you ask them the right questions, and that we focus so much on questions that it brings out really interesting people and really interesting conversation. But I've seen more people connect through our board meetings and our other online meetings with other interesting people that they didn't know and have made those connections that have gone on. There's something powerful in that. One of the things I love about our board meetings, and in large part, it's because of the line of questioning, because of catalytic thinking. We are always aiming at our better angels. We are always aiming at something positive and powerful as an outcome. A, we're very outcomes focused. So that's gets to what you were saying, Dimitri, is that it actually makes a difference because everything we're doing is aimed at an outcome. But there's something very uplifting about watching a group of people in some cases grapple with what will it take to create that positive outcome. When we're grappling, it's not from a place of this sucks and this is how bad it sucks. We're grappling with what does it take to make it, to aim at good. When our meetings are great and everything is popping and we're crackling and you leave the meeting and you go, ah, that was awesome. There's just as many meetings we have where I leave saying that was awesome and it was tough. And it was hard work and we dealt with stuff. And again, because it's coming from this very affirming place, there's just something that feels good about that, at least for me.
One of the things that I like about this, one is this, the fact that we record these, the fact that these meetings are archived, because they are so dense, and there is so much information, and I reflect upon reading or a koan, you know, sound of one hand clapping. It means something different. I get something different out of it every time I go back and think about it. And I'm using that as a kind of a broad a metaphor, but you go back and you look at the conversation that happened 2 years ago around whatever the issue was we were discussing, and there's new insights that come out of that. And the fact that it's not just written notes, it is a live conversation that's going on. And by the way, Justin, I wanna learn more about your 1 week Zoom meeting, what it was and how it worked. But given that I find it really powerful to be able to do that. And I know, Hilda, you frequently go back and document meetings and document by going back to the video record of it. So that's one of the things that I think is really powerful. And what I like about it is the fact that it is there. Because it is so open and inviting and whatever, there is also substance there. I mean, I think about boards I've been on. If I was to watch the recording of that board meeting, you know, from 10 years ago, I mean, I would be bored, you know, totally, completely bored. There's nothing in one meeting that was really that different from the other meeting. But this, everyone has something in it that is valuable and worth sharing or thinking about.
So in that, just sort of pulling out, going back to what you said, Dimitri, about being prepared is we need to be prepared to be public. I mean, I think we take that for granted because we're in the space all the time. But if we're thinking about particularly future members, we're all taking it for granted. We are prepared to be public when we show up. We think about new people joining on. I think part of that is, Hilde, what you're talking about, which is it's part of the protected space. It's also part of the structured, protected conversation, which is not focused on problems or it's focused on positive. And I think that also ensures that people aren't individually being, you know, called out or put on the spot.
That's one more. That's another thing that, because I do hear so often from people who've been in our meetings. I have the beautiful luxury of that because I get into conversation with them afterwards. One of the things that is mentioned frequently is how beyond respectful we are of each other, how honoring we are of each other, that we build off of each other's conversations, that we listen to each other, that so often in a conversation, and how many times has it happened just in the past 10 minutes, where we piggyback off of what somebody said and honor them, and you know, Angie, what you said about this has me thinking about, or to riff off of a little bit of what you were saying, Justin. There's a we like each other. I mean, there's a benefit in that. We like each other. We support each other.
In that regard, I know, I mean, I take for granted how our meetings are structured. I take for granted our welcome, our open, our awesome, our whatever. But that is unusual. And what it does for me is I get to learn about you. I get to learn about my fellow board member more on a friend basis than on a position basis as a fellow board member. And to me, that's really, really powerful and subtle. And it's so ingrained in what we do that it's easy to forget that. I still talk about, Angie, the fact that you have a bicycle with snow-studded tires on it. Whether you still ride that or not, I just have that image of you riding around in that 10 feet of snow, whatever it is, on your bike. And I would never have learned that from another board, you know, from a board member on another board. I never would have known that, and it wouldn't have mattered, and I wouldn't have had that sort of pleasant, you know, image in my mind of doing that. So as a fellow cyclist, I'm honored. You know, very, a lot of respect there, Angie.
He actually mentioned
also,
that when we had our tiny little flakes. And he was going to go out riding. He said, I could use Angie's snow tires.
Yes.
Like, you do know it's melted.
Okay. And I know that Dimitri's got goo in his tires. So, but I also want to acknowledge, though, that I think we value that, but we also, I mean, I think because of the nature that people can come in and out of the meetings, there is also, we don't know each other. I mean, you know, we do and we don't. You know, I think Angie and I are still, we sort of dropped the ball in negotiating our opportunity to talk, because we, you know, a year ago sort of had this, wow, you know, I'm not quite sure I know exactly what it is that you are sort of exploring there. And that's not, I'm not saying that as it's something that's wrong, but I think that there's something about the space, and again, I kind of keep coming back to, you know, being comfortable being oneself. I can be as revealing as I want, but I don't have to share everything. And I can be okay not necessarily knowing everything about everybody in the space.
Yeah. But I think this is a really, you know, it would be interesting to talk to some of our former board members to see if they would agree with this and what they might add to it, or if they would disagree with it. But this is a picture of a group I would want to be part of. And oh, by the way, you're serving one hell of a mission. It's interesting that that's, you know, we made this very personal on purpose as we were talking about, you know, what's in it for me as a board member. But what's in it for me as a board member is we're furthering some pretty incredible work. And you know, riffing off what you were saying, Dimitri, is we may talk about something for a year. The conversations we have had about and that have led to the determination of our values, the determination of being an integrity, I love Justin, integrity body rather than an integrity board. That whole image that Vu comes up with of draw a picture of a fish, the image that people have of what a board is. But there's there's one hell of a mission that we are in support of. And what I love about our conversations is that those conversations in and of themselves are support of the mission, because the mission is systems change. And what we're always looking at are the systems within creating the future. And so we're accomplishing the mission in the action of the doing the work to accomplish, if that makes any sense. But it's the meta and the fractal, that every piece is emblematic of the bigger whole. Mm-hmm. And that what we're doing, you know, getting back to what you were saying, Dimitri, actually makes a difference for our mission and becomes an example as we're teaching, as we're talking, as we're, you know, partnering with folks around the mission. The work of the board becomes an example of that.
So a question I have, I want to channel Carl for a minute, because Carl has been known, I don't mean to speak on his behalf, but there's always the voice of Carl, which is, this has been a great conversation, but where is it?
Where's does it any land? Of it, does any of it, I'm not sure any of this is helping you, Hildy.
Yeah. So there's that part of it. So I think that there's, I'm struggling with sort of trying to capture what it is that we are able to accomplish, because I do think we accomplish systems thinking and clarification. And on occasion it points us to a decision or a clarification of something for the organization. But there is a, you know, like I'm thinking about again, sort of that whole notion of preparedness, someone coming into this space. What is it that they need to know, understand to be able to feel comfortable and confident in the space? And I know we don't often talk about what we're not, but there's something about what we don't do, you know, that we don't look at financials. You're not put on the spot to make a decision about X, Y, or Z. And that is a unique scenario. And I know it's part of what we're shaping as this notion of what an integrity body does. But it also means people need to be comfortable with that. And again, that was sort of why I was channeling Carl, because I always sensed a little bit of discomfort. Like, this was a great conversation, but what did it advance? What was the end game of this? So I don't know, I sort of throw that out as a question, which is, how would you describe what we do with somebody who hasn't been in this space?
I really like the question of what are we not? I just really like that question. I'm playing with it right now.
Mm-hmm. I think this relates to, Hilly, what we were talking about with the fundraising class last week when we met, or was it 2 weeks ago now? Anyway, time is
completely
flat right now. You know, because I think what we were talking about with my fundraising class, which I always struggled with, because there is this sort of imperative to, you know, people come to the class with like, I want to learn how to do fundraising. And so, you know, focusing on teaching people how to do fundraising. And what I sort of come to realize in doing this process of trying to use catalytic thinking to revise that class is that it's so important to first consider, you know, the sort of context of fundraising, why we're doing it, who is, you know, the who, the, you know, all the questions around catalytic thinking that, you know, once we do that process and we really think about, or, you know, maybe ask different questions, which I think our board does, it's about asking, right, and thinking about things in a different way, then the, like, how to do it often is actually, you know, pretty obvious and easier. You know, and I don't, you know, in a graduate fundraising class, the practicing how to do it becomes less important because we've done the work of thinking about these, you know, why we're doing it, how we're doing it, you know, and all those sorts of aspects. And so I guess, you know, when we come to this question about what this board does, it is about, you know, some of the things we've already talked about that are, as we're doing is part of the thinking, is part of the doing is part of the thinking. And ultimately, you know, we maybe change our behavior based on those thinking in different ways. And that's the sort of essence of it, I think.
Yeah.
Justin, you're...
I'm muted. Yeah, I saw that. And it's just because my brain just totally went off on what you were talking about, Angie, and talking about, you know, teaching fundraising and people want to learn fundraising. And I'm just like, yeah, really, you know, it sort of starts, like, if we get really crass about it, it's like, how do I get money for my organization? Like that's what you want to learn? Like, let's be, you know... I'm not sure where that was going, but it was sort of this, but there's a component of that around that is sort of catalytic thinking, which is like, there is this whole industrial complex around this notion of development and fundraising and what you do. And it's like, at the end of the day, like, let's actually go back to what it was for. Like, it's to get money in your organization, but then you can even go back another step, which is, well, it's to get resources and assets into your organization. And then you can start to say, well, what does it take to do that? And to your point, then it totally, you know, changes the nature of the conversation, but they're not going to get the, well, this is how you fundraise per what everybody else is saying about how you fundraise.
It's
a digression, but.
No, I don't think so, because if you keep working back with that, right, it's ultimately about engaging people in what you're doing, trying to work together to create some kind of systems change, right? Whatever, I mean, that's often like the, if you keep working backwards, so I think that's kind of what we're doing here too, right?
The question y'all were asking, what do we do? We think out loud, you know? and I will never forget Carl saying, there's two things. One, Carl saying, this is my me time. That I have, and I quote him constantly when I'm doing speeches to say, have any of you ever experienced a board where you feel that this is your me time? This is my me time. I also remember years ago, we were having a meeting. It was I probably shouldn't say this out loud if his wife is listening. It was his anniversary, and he was sneaking watching the board meeting while he was out to dinner with his wife. I mean, you would have thought it was the Super Bowl. You would have thought it was like the NBA championships. He was sneaking our board meeting because this is his me time. There's something we don't, as grown-ups, get time to explore together. We certainly don't get time to play together. Dimitri and I found with the diaper bank years ago that the more we could give grownups the opportunity to play together, hurling diapers off the balcony. I mean, the more you could give them an opportunity, we love it. And we never get an opportunity to just explore together without it being the divisive kinds of political conversations that we're so used to having. And without it going down the rabbit hole of how bad it sucks. So you've got no division. No intentional divisiveness, and no going down that rabbit hole of how bad it is. What you do have is seeking points of agreement, building on the brilliance of others, aiming towards something positive and possible. And that's energizing, because we don't get the opportunity to do that in real life.
Flipping of the script, which I deeply value here, and it's part of why I ask the question and push the question that you raised, that I keep raising, which is, what's the experience? And what you described about Carl, and I think for many of us, is this space and being a part of this body has to feel important to me in what I do or what I want to accomplish, not solely the benefit of creating the future because I'm supposed to be passionate and compelled to care because I'm on the board. Like, I think that that is a, that's a trope that we won't often say, but is so exhibited in what board experiences are, which is basically, can you come on the board and do stuff for us? And you know, the whole notion of conflict of interest, you know, which is like, don't do anything that is going to be, and I'm like, you know, Hilde, you at one point, I want to do justice because I think you said it was someone else who introduced the idea, but if it was yours, I want to give you credit too, but the notion of confluence of interest.
That was not me. That was actually, I believe, Carlo Jensen, who was one of our fellows.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
So, Carlo's great. I know Carlo. So, but that, like, to me, that's what I want. That's what is, I think that's part of what this space is that, you know, we're not actually talking about creating the future per se. We're talking about a system of which creating the future will adopt because it's a good, healthy system. Mm. And so I think it's really important that people understand and experience, this is part of the recruitment and it's part of the being on the board, that being in this space is important to you and what you are trying to advance in your world. And that doesn't necessarily mean it has to be a path through creating the future. Because again, I think that's the other assumption we tend to make is that it's going to benefit me. It's got to come somehow through the organization again. But I do think that that's very unique. I do think that we naturally do it, but I kind of want to call it out and say, that's part of board service, is it feeling important to you as a personal benefit obligation to your own personal advancement, not creating the futures. All right, there's like seven different ways. So
they were all excellent.
And it's a place to be verbose.
Yeah, I was just thinking
and
that.
It's welcome.
This, I guess, I've spoiled.
Another thought that comes to mind is, and I'm trying to think of how to express it, but it's values first. Mm-hmm. So, years ago, I was part of an organization that I began working with that organization because of the values that I shared with the organization. And I eventually parted ways with that organization when I didn't feel the values were shared anymore, that the values had shifted. So part of what this constant reflection and renewal and you know, sort of exploration is it constantly hones the values. It, you know, the values are revisited.
They're live.
Yeah, the values are live. They're revisited. So it becomes much less ultimately about process than about honoring of those values. And the process is just how we do that, as opposed to it's the important thing. The other thought in that regard is that's the way we do things. So that's the way things were done. That's the way that. There is a willingness to look at the emperor and say, you don't seem to be wearing anything, and be okay with that, with all of us together doing, you know, saying that.
Yeah, I'm reflecting on Angie gifted me the book From What Is to What If, and this is a what if space. This is a what if space. What is possible space?
Angie, I know you had something that was percolating.
I was just, so I maybe I I was just thinking about many of the discussions that I have in with PhD students and my PhD classes are similar to the kinds of conversations that we have. So I was just thinking about, you know, that space and how, you know, it's about people coming together to share knowledge, critically reflect on it, think about, you know, how we can maybe change things. And also at the same time, people are thinking about their own, you know, research agenda and how what they're learning can be applied to helping them do better research or, you know, so anyway, there's a lot of similarities, it seems.
Mm-hmm. That's making me think about a description of our board as people coming together to change systems that we all encounter in our own lives. We're all in other boards, we're all in other organizations, we're all in businesses, we're all in whatevers. But this is I'm hearkening back to the very first meetings of our board back in 2011. We were 2 years away from getting our C3. I mean, we were nascent. And the board members at the time said, we are not a board. We are a group of leaders trying desperately not to be a board. And I smile thinking back at that. We are really a group of people who are focused on systems change, and we're grappling from the inside out as to not just what do those systems look like once they're changed, but what is the process of systems change? What is the discussion? What are the questions that lead to being able to make those links and create that change?
Angie, you triggered something in my sort of thinking about this, that one, it's people affected, and that is students. And you know, you were talking about graduate level students. Wow, what I would have done if I was at that age and that level of thinking to be on a board like this, to be able to explore and to know that my input is really valuable in shaping this. So, you know, I'm thinking that that's another group that potentially can be both a resource for board members, potentially, and also be or benefit from the very fact that we exist and that we're talking about this and we're doing this.
I think as a total aside, I keep saying I need to get out of the way and we should have all sorts of young people on our our thinking entity, whatever they are, for that are guiding organizations. So this kind of expands some of the for whoms, because what you were just sharing, Hildy and Dimitri, around, like, I can put what I get out of here to work on my side. Like, that's a system change. Like, and it seems like if you are, you know, so Hildy, you and Dimitri, you come out of these saying, okay, so what does that mean for creating the future? What is it that we're gonna do or give attention to or put together? I think similarly, I won't speak for Angie, but I know I walk away going, okay, I'm gonna put this to use in what I'm trying to do. Well, Angie shared what you're doing with the fundraising course. So I do think that as part of the experience, sort of anyone who's engaging with this work, whether it is a board member, whether it is someone watching, whether it is the governance curious, whether it is the staff, that the experience is one from which you walk away feeling like there's something that you've gained that you can apply to your thing, your passion, your issue. That, and I think it sort of loops back to some of that integrity that I was talking about, where there's integrity that spans both organizational integrity for creating the future, but also my sense of individual integrity. So if I'm contributing to a thought at this level, it needs to have parity with thoughts that I'm exploring somewhere else. And again, I think we sort of felt the natural tension for Carl sometimes where he felt like me space versus other space. So being able to just be very aware of that, and as someone participating on the board, feeling like I have permission to do that, which is the confluence of interest, but also being given assistance doing that, sort of applying it. I don't know if that's making sense. So I just looked up at time. I want to be cognizant of time. And I'm wondering, one, just some reflections, and it seems like, you know, I imagine if we started to come at this list from all of those other for whoms, we would see a lot of overlap that's there with a couple of things missing. But, you know, sort of the next piece, I think, really is, well, what does it take for someone to, again, I sort of go back to what would it take for to create a system that creates all of this? And then what would it take for a person to say yes to participating in that? Which obviously we can't answer in 15 minutes. I sort of propose that as the carryover question perhaps for next month. So as because we try to be explicit about what we are modeling, it is important that we give an opportunity for people to process, reflect both what they've heard and what is coming up for them. So I am curious if people think about what we've raised, think about how you're feeling in response to our conversation. What is resonating for you as something important to share, for us to hear?
I will jump in to say that I found this very helpful in thinking about, yeah, how to explain what we do here. I think we have had a lot of good ideas that we've come together, and I'm feeling more confident and comfortable with expressing that, or, you know, as the next or next, or being able to do that as we talk about these next phases. So I think that it's been really good discussion.
I'm feeling like this is a board I'd like to be on.
Good thing.
Yeah, I think there is big value in what you said, Angie. In we have all been having these conversations for many, many years. We've been on this board for a long time. We've been together for a long time talking about these kinds of issues. And for us, a lot of this is something that we feel and have never articulated. And so I'm appreciating what you said, Angie, because there is real power in being able to say, this is what it means to be on this board. And I like that. So I'm enjoying the process.
I'm reflecting on the comment about better angels and sort of tying that into a renewal of sort of understanding here. Our relationship, this board, this process has been evolving and continues to evolve with, you know, certain parameters. But within those parameters, it's not what it was in 2011. I value and appreciate this sort of reflection on it, what, you know, the conversation around recruiting board members or expanding the board or whatever, really makes you reflect on it and think about it, because you need to explain what it is. And in the process of doing that, we are understanding more what it is. There's so much that's assumptive on anything we do on a routine basis just becomes assumptive. And it's taking the time to stop and look back and shine a light on it and reflect really, I think, ultimately makes it better because we understand what's happening and we can move forward. So I'm kind of reflecting on the power and the value of what we're doing here for personally and for the organization and for the future young people who will be on this board.
Well, I really appreciate sort of the, Angie, as you were saying, trying to get language around what it is that we do, what is it that we're experiencing, how do we describe that, you know, outwardly in a way that people can understand it. Along those lines of just being more explicit, I don't think I quite appreciated sort of that incubator notion, and that you come into this space to explore something that you take out of this space. And I actually think that is really it's an interesting idea. It resonates with sort of this notion of, you know, what are we doing to actually build the assets that we are dependent on? I mean, I remember going way back to, you know, the financial conversation that we had where that question came up, which is what does it mean to think about a resource that you come in that leaves richer than when it came in? And this is the same thing here. I do have a question, which is another angle that I think I would want to come at, which is there still is an important component on that integrity piece of what's going on with creating the future. So we kind of went way off on one side, and I think I'm feeling a little bit of that anxiety of saying, well, wait, there still is something about the integrity of the organization question that as a board member, what my experience is in relationship to that. I think there's space for us to talk, just like we talked about the individual experience that we're having. I think there is something about the, I don't know if it's institutional experience. I don't know what we thought, what we call
what's,
it.
What's interesting, and I'm sorry for interrupting, but it's whenever we have these conversations, it's always interesting to me that we talk about the who will be impacted by whatever we do, and we make this long list, and we almost always forget to add creating the future to that list, because creating the future will be affected by our recruitment process and creating the future. Mm-hmm. And so coming back to maybe asking, what does this recruitment process make possible for creating the future? It suddenly sparked me, because I've been in so many of these conversations, Justin, and they always come back to, oh yeah, what about us? Mm-hmm. So, I think that's a really, really important next question, is what does the recruitment process make possible for us? What does the board make possible for creating the future? You know, we danced around it a little bit, but I think you just hit it right on the head, is that's the one that was missing from the people.
Well, and I think we have a notion of what the board does for the organization, but what I don't think we quite understand yet, or we haven't articulated, because we probably understand it because we're just doing it. It's going back to that experience, like, well, what does that mean in this space of what I can expect to experience with regard to my role ensuring integrity to the organization? or of the organization that we've talked about. So I think that we do know the benefit, but there is sort of an operational question. What does that actually look like in practice so that we have integrity and being an integrity?
Won't that come out as we continue to talk about what conditions, you know, for success that will sort of work itself out in that discussion?
Yeah, because we're going to wind up asking, what do people need to know? And that's going to be something they need to know.
Yeah.
So it'd be helpful if we could articulate it.
Yeah.
This has been energizing, guys. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is funny. I think you saw that I dropped in the chat that literally, Hildy, I got the book, you know, from what is to, or from what.
What is to, from yeah. what is to what if.
To what is, yeah. But literally, yeah. Yes, it's been sitting at my local bookstore for a month and a half because I ordered it back in December and forgot I ordered it.
Okay, so we should have a book discussion after y'all are done reading it too. Or we should, we should invite Rob Hopkins to come to one of our
meetings. I was thinking as I was reading that I absolutely will be reaching out to him. There's so much resonance pretty awesome.
Cool.
Well, I have 5 pages left of how to be an anti-racist. As soon as I finish that, then I can start the next one.
Excellent. Thank you, Justin, for guiding us today.
Yeah, thank you, Justin.
My pleasure. Okay, well, as anything else for the good of the order?
Just that we should think about who's going to facilitate the discussion next meeting, maybe. And I'm happy to help do that, though, Justin. You did such a great job this time. You might want to continue, you know.
I'll take it under consideration. Figure out where the confluence of interest is for me.
There we go.
Okay, well, thank you, everybody. Thank you for those who have been watching live or see this recorded and get the value out of it. Again, we hope that it, as we've been just talking about, that you're able to take something away.
Thank you. See you all later.
Okay. Bye, everyone.